Eliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Eliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Eliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Eliot, continuing one of my favorite children's books, a wonderful little story about something that happened at Christmas. It's called The Tailor of Gloucester. I read the first half yesterday, and I'm going to finish it today. The tailor was very poor. He only had enough money to rent the kitchen of an old house, and every day he would go to his little tailor shop and work on whatever work the people had given him to do. And now he was working on a very beautiful waistcoat for the mayor of Gloucester. And he had run out of pink silk. He had sent his cat, Simpkin, to get several things, milk and bread and pink silk twist. And while he was gone, he discovered that Simpkin had caught mice and hidden them under the teacups and in the teapot and under the plates in his kitchen. Well, he let them all go free. And when Simpkin came back, you could imagine that Simpkin the cat was very upset. And so instead of giving his master the twist that he had bought, he only gave him the bread and milk, and he hid the twist in the teapot and went looking for his little friends, the mice, that had been released by the tailor. But the poor old tailor that night was tossing with a fever, tossing and turning in his four-poster bed and mumbling in his dreams, no more twist, no more twist. The little mice, of course, had heard all this, and they went scampering away, and they could run through the corridors and the wainscots of the old houses in Gloucester anywhere they wanted to without going out in the street. So can you guess where those little mice were headed? They were headed for the tailor's shop. All that day, the tailor was ill, and the next day and the next, and what should become of the cherry-colored coat? In the tailor's shop in Westgate Street, the embroidered silk and satin lay cut out upon the table, 21 buttonholes, and who should come to sew them when the window was barred and the door fast locked? But that does not hinder the little brown mice. They run in and out without any keys through all the old houses in Gloucester. Out of doors, the market folks went trudging through the snow to buy their geese and turkeys and to bake their Christmas pies. But there would be no Christmas dinner for Simpkin and the poor old tailor of Gloucester. The tailor lay ill for 3 days and nights. And then it was Christmas Eve, and very late at night. The moon climbed up over the roofs and chimneys and looked down over the gateway into College Court. There were no lights in the windows, nor any sound in all the houses. The city of Gloucester was fast asleep under the snow, and still Simpkin wanted his mice, and mewed as he stood beside the four-poster bed. Mew. But it is in the old story that all the beasts can talk in the night, between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in the morning, though there are very few folk that can hear them, or know what it is that they say. When the cathedral clock struck 12, there was an answer, like an echo of the chimes. And Simpkin heard it, and came out of the tailor's door, and wandered about in the snow. From all the roofs and gables and old wooden houses in Gloucester came 1,000 merry voices, singing the old Christmas rhymes, all the old songs that ever I heard of, and some that I don't know, like Whittington's Bells. First and loudest, the cocks cried out, Dame, get up and bake your pies, bake your pies, bake your pies. Oh, dilly, 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 sighed Simpkin. And now in a garret, There were lights and sounds of dancing, and cats came from all over the way. "Hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, all the cats in Gloucester." "Except me," said Simpkin. Under the wooden eaves, the starlings and sparrows sang of Christmas pies. The jackdaws woke up in the cathedral tower, and although it was the middle of the night, the throstles, that's thrushes, and robins sang. The air was quite full of little twittering tunes. But it was all rather provoking to poor hungry Simpkin. Particularly, he was vexed with some little shrill voices from behind a wooden lattice. I think that they were bats, because they always have a very small voice, especially in a black frost, when they talk in their sleep like the Tailor of Gloucester. They said something mysterious that sounded like, "Buzz," quoth the blue fly, "hum," quoth the bee, "buzz and hum," they cry, "and so do we." And Simpkin went away shaking his ears as if he had a bee in his bonnet. From the tailor's shop in Westgate came a glow of light, and when Simpkin crept up to peep in at the window, it was full of candles. There was a snippeting of scissors and snappeting of thread, and little mouse voices sang loudly and gaily, 4 and 20 tailors went to catch a snail, the best man among them durst not touch her tail. She put out her horns like a little Kylo cow. Run, tailors, run, or she'll have you all e'en now. Then without a pause, the little mouse voices went on again. Sieve my lady's oatmeal, grind my lady's flour, put it in a chestnut, let it stand an hour.
Mew, mew,
interrupted Simpkin, and he scratched at the door. But the key was under the tailor's pillow. He could not get in. The little mice only laughed and tried another tune. 3 little mice sat down to spin. Pussy passed by and she peeped in. What are you at, my fine little men? Making coats for gentlemen. Shall I come in and cut off your threads? Oh, no, Miss Pussy, you'd bite off our heads.
Mew, mew,
cried Simpkin. Hey, diddle dinkity, answered the little mice. Hey, diddle dinkity, poppity pet, the merchants of London, they wear scarlet. Silk in the collar and gold in the hem, so merrily march the merchant men. They clicked their thimbles to mark the time, but none of the songs pleased Simpkin. He sniffed and mewed at the door of the shop. And then I bought a pipkin and a popkin, a slipkin and a slopkin, all for 1 farthing, and upon the kitchen dresser added the rude little mice.
Mew, scratch, scratch, scratch,
scuffled Simpkin on the window sill, while the little mice inside sprang to their feet and all began to shout at once in little twittering voices, no more twist, no more twist. And they barred up the window shutters and shut out Simpkin. But still, through the nicks in the shutters, he could hear the click of thimbles and little mouse voices singing, no more twist, no more twist. Simpkin came away from the shop and went home, considering in his mind. He found the poor old tailor without fever, sleeping peacefully. Then Simpkin went on tiptoe and took a little parcel of silk out of the teapot and looked at it in the moonlight. And he felt quite ashamed of his badness compared with those good little mice. When the tailor awoke in the morning, the first thing which he saw upon the patchwork quilt was a skein of cherry-colored twisted silk. And beside his bed stood the repentant Simpkin. Alack, I am worn to a raveling, said the tailor of Gloucester, but I have my twist. The sun was shining on the snow, and the tailor got up and dressed, and came out into the street with Simpkin running before him. The starlings whistled on the chimney stacks, and the throstles and robins sang. But they sang their own little noises, not the words they had sung at night. Alack, said the tailor, I have my twist, but no more strength nor time than will serve to make me 1 single buttonhole. For this is Christmas Day in the morning. The mayor of Gloucester shall be married by noon. And where is his cherry-colored coat? He unlocked the door of the little shop in Westgate Street, and Simpkin ran in, like a cat that expects something. But there was no one there, not even 1 little brown mouse. The boards were swept and clean. The little ends of thread and the little silk snippets were all tidied away and gone from off the floor. But upon the table, oh joy, the tailor gave a shout. There, where he had left plain cuttings of silk, there lay the most beautifulest coat, an embroidered satin waistcoat, that ever were worn by a mayor of Gloucester. There were roses and pansies upon the facings of the coat, and the waistcoat was worked with poppies and cornflowers. Everything was finished, except just one single cherry-colored buttonhole. And where that buttonhole was wanting, there was pinned a scrap of paper with these words in little teeny-weeny writing: "No more twist." And from then began the luck of the tailor of Gloucester. He grew quite stout, and he grew quite rich. He made the most wonderful waistcoats for all the rich merchants of Gloucester, and for all the fine gentlemen of the country round. Never were seen such ruffles, or such embroidered cuffs and lappets. But his buttonholes were the greatest triumph of it all. The stitches of those buttonholes were so neat, so neat. I wonder how they could be stitched by an old man in spectacles with crooked old fingers and a tailor's thimble. The stitches of those buttonholes were so small, so small, they looked as if they had been made by little mice.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.